Jones and Keefe coming up at 10 on Banner 18 Day in the city of Boston and around New England. And the Celtics begin their quest for Banner 19 this evening. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Ty Law is here. And it's a Ty Tuesday. Time now for the most entertaining play of the game last week, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment Marlboro. Anybody got a suggestion?
The throw to
Osborne?
Yep.
I was going to say Keyshawn Booty. Again, okay. Down sideline was pretty good. You brought up the rollout, the throwback to Hunter Henry, where he just showed. So, I mean, there was a couple throws in there.
That Osborne touchdown was just a dime. Yeah, laid it right over the linebacker in front of the safety.
Yeah, the one where he celebrated by asking anybody in the NFL to call him and get him out of here. Yes, that was
he was shocked he was even playing.
Scary Hampshire. It was the coin toss. Fair.
I don't know. 10-0 lead was kind of nice, you know.
Yeah.
And everything fell apart.
But, Greg, that's the point that we're making. Here's a guy in Osborne who hasn't done anything, and yet there's all types of, like, text messages between him and his agent on how it's like around here that we all get to see and read and, the complaining element. I feel like you have to get to a certain level of production where before you can start complaining publicly, like you need some street cred, or you need need that resume.
Ty said it perfectly. Where are the receipts?
Yeah,
right.
Like if you're Jalen Polk or Pop Douglas or whoever, like where are you?
I ain't never heard of them.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just being, you know, honest. You know,
but that's because there's no, and we've talked about this before. There's no one in the locker room to grab them and say, man, shut your mouth. What you doing over here?
Like, yeah, you do. Mayo. He was a number 10 overall pick, head coach. You got, and I think he just needs
need
to
one
use
of their
it
pairs.
More. He needs to use who he is more, not just the head coach. But look, you need to connect with those guys. I'm a player, too. I was a 10th pick.
But
overall.
He's sending his captains in to talk to the team after, you know, the Pepper situation and after the Barmore situation. Or was it, Barmore situation.
But Ty, Wiggy said, I think it was last week, those guys don't, most of them don't even know who Mayo is, like they or know what he was.
You need their peers.
You know what? You need a Willie Mack up in there.
That's my point.
You need a Willie Mack up in there.
You need a Roy Malloy. You need a
Brian
Cox.
Yeah, exactly.
That will somebody will grab him and say, shut the F up.
Yeah.
Go out there and catch the damn ball before you start talking about how you got the best hit. And the guy looking at the person knowing like, oh, damn.
No, they're not going to do that. They're going to go, I'm going to HR.
Because if Willie did it.
That's horrible Ken impersonation.
If Willie Mack did it, like you knew how much work Willie was putting in. You knew what he was, how productive he was on the field. So when he's yelling at you, you're like, damn.
Even like Cox, you're right. And it's also that little thing like he just might swing on me.
Right.
So it's that aspect too. It ain't just because how hard he work and who he is. We had guys in there that just might swing on your ass
but
if you
that,
sit there and don't understand and don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But there's nobody like that on any team in the NFL anymore.
Oh, no, there's guys like that on teams in the NFL.
Who?
Khalil Mack on the Chargers would probably swing.
Oh, yeah, they've really been gangbusters. I mean,
that defense has been really good all
they
year.
They haven't won anything. They lost the playoff game where they were up by 30
points. Patrolling the locker room.
Right.
That was a part of our success because coaches rarely came into the locker room.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's your safe haven.
Like,
but that's
that
like, whatever
Niners?
You got to say, hey, say it. We handle it here, you know, as men, as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And guess what?
Right.
We always had, and guess what? If Willie's going to say something, if Laurie was going to say something, he had 3-4 other guys standing right there behind him.
I bet on the Niners it's Trent Williams.
But I would just say
Trent
this.
Warner.
I would say this right. about the Patriots. Willie McGinnis was drafted in what, 95?
No, that was me. He was 94.
So you and Willie were both 94, 95.
Yeah.
And I love you. Pete Carroll was there 3 years and got fired.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the locker room culture didn't really get going until you started winning. Or maybe it was always there.
I got drafted by Parcells.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but Pete Carroll came in after Parcells, was there for 3 years.
Right.
And he lost his job.
No, but I was there in 2000, and we weren't winning, and it was still, right. You felt that, like, in the culture, like,
right.
like this dude might literally swing on me if I say something slick back to him, if he's telling me, hey, man, you know, get here early, get in there on time, you feel that certain way. So I think there are, like, in the, I don't know who that guy is here, but I would say Trent Williams. I would say Miles Garrett.
And then you talk about that, too, Kurt, that, you know, we're rookies, second year. We establishing ourselves. You don't come in as a rookie and a second year guy in no locker room and think you're going to be this or you think you're going to be that. So
I guess my question is, how did it evolve into that point? What was the catalyst for Willie to take over the room?
I think it was collective from everybody just being together long as we have to, you know, the success being that we did go to the Super Bowl, we ended up losing.
Yeah, right.
So we had an inkling of winning, okay, what it takes. But we had some things like everybody, Bruce Armstrong, as great a player as he was old school in a way to where he thought one thing. He didn't really like the young guys. We really didn't fit in
a respect thing, too. Like, Wiggy always talks about how he was scared of the older guys, of these guys that he had watched and really appreciated their play. Who is there on the Patriots right now that guys, rookies, are coming in and then want to impress the older guys? There's nobody.
There's nobody there. There's always somebody after we start having championships. Somebody was always there. There's always a couple guys there. This is how we do it. When free agents came in, this is how we do it. We don't give a damn where you come from. You're here now. This is how we do it in this locker room. But Vince Wilfork told me as we were leaving, he was one of the last guys there. He said, it's changed now. He said, even Belichick changed. It's not as hard no more. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now when the GOAT is gone and Tom's gone, it's really, who do we really look up to around here? Now you have the great ones like Matthew Slater. Matthew was an all-time great Patriot, great, but he's not. But he's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
Coaching staff, but he's not that guy.
Yeah, he's not. He's like, you know. And neither was Devin. Devin's not going to be that type of guy. And I think, like, for me, it was all about, I wanted to earn the respect of the veterans. It was a badge of honor to kind of go through some of those things where it's carry pads and, like, to prove yourself, like, I can be part of this team and you can trust in me. Even like with Brian Cox didn't play a ton that Super Bowl year, but his presence was felt because you knew who Brian Cox was. And like Ty said,
the attitude that he brought,
he might swing on you.
Yep.
Polk wouldn't be posting a peace sign after a loss in that locker room.
You know, the one who has probably more credibility on that coaching staff, you're talking about Troy Brown, who's not about to get confrontational, and Matthew Slater, like I said, he is like the epitome of who you would, you know, want your daughter to marry, something like that. You know, you do something like, Matthew going to pray for you instead of whip your ass. You know what I mean? We whip your ass. Matthew pray for you. Son, you know. So I just think that they need somebody in there that's nasty, somebody that's a dog, that don't care about your feelings. Right. And I think people are too sensitive right now in locker rooms because of, you know, the perception of what it is, or mental health and stability, and now you can call off. You know, when we couldn't, if you were sick, you had COVID back then, you're gonna wear a mask and bring your ass in this training room. You know what I mean? That's where you're going to sit at. You might not be going to the meetings, but you can't be at home.
Right.
You know what I mean? You sick, you come to work.
Yeah.
And the guys today are like, who are you to tell me what I'm the first round pick like that. There were a few guys like that, but it wasn't prevalent to where these guys are entitled. Like, and that's the difference. And then Ty's right. You would have, I remember when I was in Minnesota, and the thing that we looked at is like, all right, we're going to shave your hair as a rookie. If you got dreads, you're going to lose an eyebrow. If you don't want your hair cut, something like, and that's what we going to do. And we have Brock Lesnar, and he was like, you ain't doing this to me. And Brock Lesnar's a big dude. But when you got 6 or 7 offensive linemen cornering him in a hallway, we gonna do something to you. No matter, like, and that's what you were saying. Like, you have all these guys that are going to Polk and saying, man, keep your mouth shut.
Right. Hey, when we had to do the whole shaved head thing, I jumped out the window. I was like, you know, at that time, I wasn't doing no bald head. I jumped out the window.
Yeah.
But then I started seeing Willie, Slade, Bruce, they taking all my stuff out my room and all that stuff. Man, I came. I said,
so you went back and you did it.
Man, now I had to go back and do it. And, you know, so now, I mean, I went back. I said, you ain't going clean ball. So I said, Larry Wiggum. I said, Wig, you doing mine, man. You ain't touching me with this and that. So I had my own clippers and all that. But now, you said Brock Lesnar, Curtis Martin. He was the only one that didn't get his head shaved. And I was sitting there like, man. So now y'all got to know Curtis before he was Curtis. Like, Curtis back then, you didn't want to mess with him. Yeah. Right? But so anyway, he didn't want to get it. Bruce Armstrong came in with his taser. Oh, you going to do this? So now we said,
he had a taser?
Yeah, he had a taser then. Like,
holy hell.
You know what I mean? So he coming in. He going to get his.
That's veteran discipline right there.
Curtis took his damn shirt off. He was sitting there like this. He said, if Parcells come in here and tell me I got to do that, I'm going to do it. He's sitting there just reading his Bible.
Yeah.
And he was all about the job. He read his Bible. He said, don't tell me to do this. He said, I'm not shaving my head. And they went through so long. And when he brought out that Bible, I'm like, why not bring out the Bible? I should have brought out the Bible, too. You know, he didn't get it. So you see everybody jumping around head. Curtis had a head full of hair. Like, he's not doing it. Yeah. The old Curtis is about to come out, and you ain't want to see that guy. He's such a nice, humble guy.
The
old Curtis, no.
Yeah. All right, Todd. Well, great to see you, bud.
Oh, man. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me always.
We will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
And you're out and about, I'm assuming, this week?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be out and about this week. We're doing... you know, actually going to be a big night tomorrow. You know what I mean? So big night, you know, big night live. We're going to be doing something real cool there tomorrow night. Then I'm going to be heading to Pittsburgh and L.A. Be out for a week. So I'll be doing a show from L.A. next week, early in the morning, running from the Coyotes. You know what I mean? So then I'll be back. So, you know, we
hit me up tomorrow night. Maybe I'll pull up the big night live. That's right downstairs for me.
Absolutely, man. We're going to have a
hit me up. I'll pull up.
Hey, Corvus being poured all night. It's Corvus event. Let's do it.
If you'd like to take in a good faux roaring fireplace before big night, go to Wiggy's place.
Yeah, you're always welcome to come to the crib. I'm right upstairs, so I'll pull up. What time?
8 to 10.
All right, yeah, definitely. Just text me.
Okay, all right, we'll do.
He'll blow some faux wood smoke out the window.
Nothing wrong with it.
Light some fake candles.
Hey, Courtney's just like me. We both got fake fireplaces.
Yeah, very different.
I know. You live right by there?
Yeah, I live right upstairs. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, right upstairs.
All right, Ty Law, you're the best. We will be right back.